Why didn't you call?
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was so late. Tyler and I were talking.
That boy is irresponsible.
No, Mom, it's not his fault.
And that's from Buffy. And do you have teenage kids? And I know when I had teenage kids, we all get nervous. Are they dating someone that's decent? Will they come home at a good hour? Will they go out drinking or work, you know, do something damaging, maybe do some drugging, and, you know, or come home pregnant or make someone pregnant? We all have our concerns as parents. If you're a parent of a teenager and you're struggling, you don't know how to deal with your teen, that's one of the many questions you can call and ask me about. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist. I'm here to take your calls and questions on anything that's bothering you. And right now, I want to turn to the phones and welcome Jamie. Jamie, you're looking at ways to control your anger?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I kind of grew up with it on one of my parents and my dad.
Yeah.
And he was very reactive, and we used to call him quick-tempered.
Yes.
So we would caution how we would speak with him. And he passed away when I was a teenager at the age of 59 due to some other medical complications.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when I get to be 49, I started having cardiac trouble.
Oh.
I have 3 stents.
Okay.
And medically, I cannot take the statin medications.
Okay.
I have a real difficulty with them. They affect me emotionally. They affect me thought process. I'm unproductive at work.
Yeah.
I've tried about 7 or 8 of them. They want my LDL cholesterol lower, but I'm afraid it's due to the fact that I am somewhat reactive also.
Okay. So would you call yourself quick-tempered then? Do you think that you are mirroring what Dad did?
To a point, not as extreme.
Okay. What do you do better?
What do I do better?
Yeah, you must cope better if it's not as intense, not as extreme.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. Sometimes if I find myself driving down the road in my business and I find myself angry at coworkers,
yeah,
angry at spouse, angry at children,
mm-hmm,
it just seems like you always go there.
Okay, so that's not what you're doing better, though. What you said that, so let me get the picture clearly first, that you're worried about having a heart attack. You're worried that the stress from your anger could do you in, like it did with your father who died at age 59.
I've already had 2.
You've already had 2 heart attacks. So you're
3 stents put in.
Right. No, I did hear that. So moving away from the medical now and towards the psychological, if you're asking, how do I manage my anger? That is one of the best gifts you can give yourself. Because if you can manage your anger, guess what you'll improve?
Your whole life.
Everything. Everything. You'll improve your life with your kids, with your spouse, with your coworkers, with yourself. You will like yourself better. I loved learning anger management skills because I was the first one to benefit. I could handle very provocative or very difficult situations so differently than I did it as a child. You know, my sisters and I had 2 younger sisters, and we all fought. We all did the anger dance, and, you know, my parents didn't have all the skills. They had some skills, but certainly not all, so they got frustrated with us. And I remember when I was really young, I was told my father got so angry once he put mashed potatoes in my hair. I don't remember the details, but, you know, you try to feed a kid, they're not eating it, and you just stick it in their hair. You can kind of you can feel for the father, but it isn't the best way to cope, because what does he feel after he does that?
He feels remorse.
He feels sheepish, embarrassed. Does he want anyone at work to know he put mashed potatoes in his little kid's hair?
Why did I do that?
Yeah, why did I do that? So here's what's going on with anger. Anger is the emotion we feel when we think things are not fair. It's not fair. fair with my coworker? Why doesn't my spouse listen to me? Why don't my kids listen to me? And we typically hear our side of the equation, and we typically get so emotional. Our pulse goes up. Well, you know that you have heart problems, right? Our whole physiology gets turned on, and not in a good way. The arousal is just way high. It's off the thermometer, and we're not very effective listeners when that happens.
Exactly.
So can you pick one quick example of some situation that if you knew at least one way to handle it differently, it would help you tremendously, or even a little bit?
Turn on a song.
Okay, turn on a song. What do you mean?
I've always enjoyed music. I've even enjoyed it more than what I do as a profession.
Okay, so if you listen to is it soothing music or is it acid hard rock?
No, it's not acid hard rock. It might be a country song. Countries
can be a little depressing, so it might switch from anger. Yeah, but if it's something that tends to turn down your physiology, go for it. That's one of the skills you can use, to have music in the background for yourself. So here, let me give you the skills. I wish I could give you everything in anger management. I can't at once, so I will give you some references, but I'll also give you an overview of the skills that you can use.
Okay.
And you want to, number one, understand your own anger. Now, how do we do that? I can tell you that your anger is the emotion we feel when we appraise things as, it's not fair. So what is not fair? If you're driving home from work and you're furious at your coworker and you're about to cut someone off on the road because you're so angry with your coworker, listen to your own self-talk. Do you know what I mean by self-talk?
Self-talk?
What we say in our minds to ourselves.
Yes.
For example, I can't believe my coworker did this. She's such an idiot. She's not going to get away with it. Nobody's going to push me around like this. Now, am I angry?
Yeah.
Can you see me building? But each one of those sentences is my instruction manual of how to deal with her.
Yeah.
And if I try to deal with her by dominating her, domination makes me feel inadequate. If my father puts the mashed potatoes in my head when I'm a little kid, what he's doing he's bearing down on my weaknesses. You know, I can't fight him. I'm a little kid. And instead, if you negotiate with someone, if you learn how to actively listen to them, if you walk a little bit in their shoes and see the world from their perspective, sometimes it changes your anger. And if you learn how to negotiate, that involves respecting the strengths, your own strengths and the other person's strengths. Now, how do you do that? Well, you need to first understand your own self-talk and then learn new self-talk. So if somebody is real mean to me, let's say a coworker is real mean to me, listen to what I might say to myself. Are you ready? I might say to myself, oh man, I only have to put up with this for another hour. I am so glad I am not married to her. Can you see how that changes it a little bit?
Yeah.
She really doesn't know how to listen well. Maybe if I write her notes or something, that would be a better way to get through to her. Or am I listening to her? Maybe I don't understand her perspective well enough. That's developing an inquiring mind rather than an attacking one. So if you get books, there are wonderful books on anger management, cognitive therapy. You could even Google cognitive therapy, anger control. There's an anger control workbook that I have in my hand right now. But you could go through a workbook and give yourself the music skill, relaxing yourself physiologically, and more, Jamie. So listen, I wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And go listen to some yummy, delicious music.
I usually like to listen to high-energy stuff.
Okay,
acid rock.
Okay, well, go listen to whatever you love.
Okay, keep up the great work.
Thanks. Oh, thanks, Jamie. And what if you go to bed swimming in guilt, and then you wake up in the morning and you feel that heavy weight of guilt on your mind, and the guilt doesn't give you a moment's rest? You could have lied to a good friend or cheated on your spouse or told a sales clerk that the item you're returning was broken when you bought it and you know that you broke it. Are you powerless to do anything about your guilt? And are all feelings of guilt equally valid? Coming up next, I'll be discussing how to deal with guilt with Dr. Steve Orner, a clinical psychologist. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by psychologist Drs. Kenner and Locke.
How do you know if your partner is the right one for you? Compare your present companion to people you have dated before. What are you getting now that you missed before? Are you missing something now that you got before? If none of the people you've met satisfy enough of your requirements, keep looking. If you recently found a potential soulmate, is there anything important that you've overlooked? Is your partner lacking something that you really want? Can your partner be trusted? Does your partner have traits that grate on you? And can any of them be viewed as trade-offs in view of better qualities? Are there potential sources of conflict between you that need discussion? Does your best judgment mesh with your emotional response to your partner, or are there still red flags?
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.